All right, I guess we'll start here. Okay, so we really have a new union here. Is really the second half of the Chabura relates to Zman HaYom, whereas till now we were talking about Kiddush HaChodesh, and to a certain extent we could say that the first half is less negayah to the Kol Yachid V'Yachid, meaning you don't have to make the decision when the calendar is. Ultimately, you can just open up the calendar and see when Rosh Hashanah is, even if you don't know the way Adar Reish and so on. Mashenke, the second half, relates to Zman HaYom, which really relates to day to day. Halacha L'maisa, we're called Yachav Yachid, which means you have to know when is early Sikadam Shakras, when is early Sikadam Mincha, when does Shabbos start, and so on. That really relates to an individual, and therefore, to a certain extent, it's more Negev L'maisa first. I mean, you can also look it up in the Luach and so on, but even using those times in the Luach, you know, what do you do and how do you do it? So that's something we're going to talk about. The other big difference is, if you remember in the Akdama, we said, we go all the way back to page 1, there are three rotations we spoke about. Two of them we've covered already. For figure 2 and 3, figure 2 is the moon going around the earth, takes 29 and a half days, so now we have a first day in that, that it refers to, you know, that's the month. And then we also have figure 3, the earth going around the sun, it's 365 and a quarter day, that was the basis of a Shana Mu'baris. That was also the basis of the secular calendar as we know it, the months of, you know, February, March, and January, and so on. What we're going to talk about now is figure 1, which is the Earth is also spinning on its axis. It takes 24 hours for that to happen. And that is Negeah Zman HaYom, and Tefillah, and Shabbos. So Zman HaYom is again when Netzach Hamah is, and so on, when a time starts. Tefillah is Shabbos in the morning, and Mincha in the afternoon. And Ma'ariv is at night. When do all of those actually occur? And number 3, of course, when the Shabbos starts, that is when the sun sets, when Shabbos is, what's the earliest time to be Mekabel Shabbos, when is Shabbos over, what is Seisach HaChavim, and all those terms that we know, Mr. Shem, we will elaborate on that. Now, in order to understand this, we need to understand the whole concept of time. So what we're going to do is, if you look, we're going to really be working in two areas here. We're going to be dealing with page 24 and 25, and we're going to be flipping. If you want to follow, those are important pictures. If you want to follow inside the notes, you go to page 32. Okay, which is really what I'm going to cover at this point. So we're going to flip back and forth between those pages, between 32 and 24. So, first of all, we got to understand, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, but we have to be maarif on this. We have to define what time is. Why is it right now 10:40 p.m.? Who said so? So you say, well, that's, you know, what they, you know, you call the weather and this is what they tell you. But, you know, who, where'd they get it from? How is this defined? So really, the definition of time is really based on 12 o'clock noon. Because what astronomically could allow you? In other words, could you go outside right now and look up at the sky and say, oh, you know, it looks like it's 20 to 11 now? Of course not. There's no difference with now. You go outside an hour later, it looks the same dark sky you have now. And then you had an hour ago. Basically. Then you can tell me, okay, I'll go when the sun sets. But we know the sun sets, that's not going to tell me what time it was. I'm going to say when the sun sets, it's 6 o'clock. Well, you know, it changes every day. So what is the determinant of time? So the answer really is, the definition of time is when the sun is in the highest point in the sky, it is 12 noon on any given day. Now, again, we're going to modify that in a moment. But I'll be past this. You go outside, and what happens is the sun rises in the east, and the sun sets in the west. That we know. Really, though, the Gemara in Erevin that addresses this, that really in the winter time, the sun really rises in the southeast and sets in the southwest. In the winter time, the sun rises in the northeast and sets in the northwest. In other words, when the sun, let's talk about the first day of spring. First day of spring, the sun rises due east. Right? And then, straight east, the way which Mizrach is this way, right? So the sun rises in the east. Now, when the sun rises in the east, so now, it doesn't go straight, at least if you're in the northern hemisphere, or at least north of 22 degrees, the sun doesn't go, again, really the earth is spinning, so all this is what it appears to us. But really, the sun doesn't just go straight overhead and down. What happens is, on the first day of spring, the sun rises in the east and then cuts south and sweeps the southern sky and then sets due west. Okay? So what happens is the sun goes up at 12 noon. Let's say the sun rises at 6 a.m. and sets at 6 p.m. At 12 noon, the sun is going to be directly south, which is also true. At noon, your shadow is pointing north because the sun is due south. Okay? And again, we have to modify what noon means, but true noon, the sun will be at directly in the south. So now the sun goes up. It's in the southern sky. It's also at its highest point because it's gone up, and now it starts to work its way down until Shkia, when the sun actually goes down. When we talk about Alaska and 24-hour suns, we're going to be marked on this a little bit more, exactly the sweep of the sun. In the winter time, the sun is only up for 10 hours or 9 hours. What happens then is the sun already gets a head start in the south. So it already rises in the southeast. It works its way up. It doesn't get that high because it's the winter, and then it works its way down. In the summertime, the sun rises in the northeast and then works its way up, and then it reaches a higher point in the sky, and then it will start to work its way down, and since it's a 14 or 15 hour day, it actually passes the west sky and will set in the northwest. The further north you go, and this is important for tonight's year, the further north you go, the more extreme the days get. Which means in the summertime, you're going to have 17-hour days, 18-hour days. What does that mean? That means if you're in Alaska at some places, in the summer, the sun will rise mamish northeast, due northeast directly. And it'll take, it'll sweep across, it'll go really high at noon, and then it'll work its way down, and it'll set all the way in the northwest. There comes a point where, let's say there's a 22-hour day, where the sun rises mamish in the northeast, almost totally north, and it comes up and it's up for 22 hours and it goes all the way here and sets in the northwest. And finally you reach a point where the sun never goes down, because what's happening is at midnight the sun is in the due north, just like at Chatzais Hayayim the sun is due south, the sun is due north at midnight, it works its way up, and it reaches its highest point in the sky at 12 noon, it starts to work its way down, and it's due north, and it never goes down. In other words, at midnight, it's above the horizon, and then it starts to work its way up, which really is even tonight. You know what happened in Chatzais HaLaila is technically, if the earth would be a big ball of glass, you'd be able to see down. At Chatzais HaLaila, at midnight, the sun would be the furthest north, so to speak, all the way down, furthest below the horizon, and it starts to work its way up. That's Pashas Wael Pi Kabbalah, Chatzais HaLaila, or Dovah HaMelech, Chatzais HaLaila, Akhtum Ha'idus Lach, Chatzais is a Shas Rachamim. That's when we start saying Slichas, that's Tillim, there's a Shal where they say Tillim by night, but a Chatzais HaLaila, right, is a Zman Meyuchin Umasugal with Tehillim. Slichas, it's all. I remember when Kolesky was ill in the mid-80s, and he had heart surgery, they learned how to say it after Ma'arif till Chatzais HaLaila, and they said Tillim. It's a Shas Rachamim. So what I think that is simply because it represents the concept of the beginning of Or. Even though you don't see anything, but the seeds, so to speak, of tomorrow by day start at Chatzais HaLaila. So tonight now it's getting darker and darker. You don't notice it, the sun's getting further away. At Chatzais HaLaila, the sun starts to work its way back up. So in the depths of Shamayim, so to speak, the sun is starting to come up, even though you don't see it, and you're already being meichid for the next day. Fine. So all that is Chatzais Hayyan. Now, the only problem is if you go outside tomorrow at 12 o'clock, you will say, what am I talking about? It's not the highest point in the sky. And that's true. Noon is defined when the sun is the highest point in the sky on 4 days a year. And they are listed on page 32. June the 15th, September the 2nd, December the 25th, and April the 15th. The last two are the easiest to remember.
That's not
Shos Manias. We're not Shos Manias. Chatzais means the sun is at the highest point in the sky. Right? That's it. Forget about Shos. Shos Mani, Shos Kus. No difference. Well, that is Chatzos based on Shos Mani is when the sun is halfway in the day. But if you forget about Shos Mani, let's just say, when is the sun at the highest point in the sky? At what time? It will be at 12 noon on those days. Therefore, the definition of time is when the sun, when it's 12 noon on these 4 days, you set your watch, when it's 12 noon. When the sun is at the highest point in the sky, that moment is noon, and now start counting from there. So if on June 15th you go outside at 12 noon, you go outside, you watch the sun reach the highest point in the sky, it's noon, and I'll set your watch, and now we're working off of that. So technically, you get four times a year to do this. So on December 25th, which was a week ago, if you went outside where the sun was the highest point in the sky, set your watch at 12 noon. You'll see in the picture in a second what's happening on those days. Okay, that's the finest 12 noon. Now, Lamaisa, we'll see that's changed with standard time, which I'll get to. What changes? So take a look at the picture on page 24. This is a picture known as an anilema or an alema. What this picture represents is, if you went outside with a camera, and apparently someone actually did this. See, the bottom is a roof. Someone went outside with a camera, and you set your shutter to turn on at 12 noon every day of the year. Right? Because it's facing the south. Right? You point your camera facing the south, you put it out, and you say, every day at 12 noon, we're going to snap a picture, and we're going to record that picture. And you have a camera that has that film that could do that. And we're going to mark where the sun is every day. So every day, the sun's going to basically be in a different spot. First of all, the far as low or high, that's Pashut. On December 26th or 25th, and on June 15th, you're going to have extremes in where the sun is. Because remember, on the 25th, the sun only works its way up a little bit and then starts going down. On June the 15th, it works its way much higher and works its way down. But furthermore, if you notice, look at the left to right sweep. On days like October the 17th, it's all the way to the right already. By 12 noon, the sun has already swept much further east.
How about April?
Or west, I mean.
How about April 15th?
April 15th is over here.
Right, what, is that, what does that line represent?
The line going across might just be the middle, basically. Okay? And if you go to the left, you go to February 17th, you'll see 79. It's locked up. This basically, same picture could basically be taken any year, basically. Give or take a millimeter. On February 17th, this sun was all the way to the left. Because Pshat is, based on the Earth's rotation, on its axis, midday, or the sun reaching the highest point in the sky, will change slightly every day. And that's why Chatzais, every day, is different. It's basically the same. Now, if you notice, if you follow Mincha Gedolah, so in my shul, we have a minyan on Sundays, every Sunday, 1 minute after Mincha Gedolah. Now, I'm not going to get into Mincha Gedolah, loosely defined as a half hour after Chatzais. We're going to elaborate on exactly how to define the half hour. But for practical purposes, let's say it's 30 minutes after Chatzais. In our shul, we started a minyan, we started this in October, and we dive into Mincha Gedolah. It's the earliest minyan in Baltimore, earliest Mincha in Baltimore on Sundays. Early Sunday minyan. In November, we were davening at 12:22. Why? Well, look at this chart. Because at 12 noon, on November the 15th, the sun is all the way over already. Which means, that's at noon. That means Chatzais was really, this was at 12 noon on the clock. Right? Chatzais is really when the sun, as we said, 12 noon, is really defined as on these 4 days a year, when is it, when these 4 days, the sun is at the highest point in the sky, that's marked your clock at noon. So I'm gonna go outside on, September 2nd, I'm gonna set my watch to 12 noon, when the sun is at the highest point in the sky. 2 months later, in November, at that same moment, right, take your finger and go all the way down, okay, at 12 noon, the sun already came and passed. Right? In other words, Chatzais was much earlier already. Chatzais was at 11:45. And Kach Havi, the Chatzais in November, is at 11:45. And therefore you could daven Mincha at 12:15. Now I'll explain why in Baltimore it's 12:20, and we'll get to that later. But it's much earlier. In February, look at February. February 17th, the sun is all the way to the left, which means by 12 noon, at 12 noon, it's not even there yet. It takes much longer. Remember, the sun's got to get to the midpoint, right here, for it to be Chatzais. At 12 noon, it's still over here. It takes longer to get there. So in February, Chatzais is going to be at 12:15. And Kach Havi, therefore you can't have Mincha until 12:45. The sun's going to be much later. In fact, between November and February, it's marching on. So for example, we daven mincha this past Sunday at 12:42, and this Sunday is at 12:45, and the following Sunday is at 12:48, and then 12:50, and it's going to peak at about 12:53, in the middle of February. And then we just have to work our way backwards because it's going this way. Okay? But that is how Chatzos works. That is the definition of time. Now, we'll come back to this.
Chatzos is when the sun is actually in high school, the sky
yes.
And noon is when the sun is in high school, the sky.
That's correct. Now, forget about Chatzos for a minute. I just defined time for you. We're going to come back to this when we talk about Mincha Gedolah and standard time. So if you lost me before, now you'll follow. What happens is like this. If sunrise, the sun is basically appears to us to be moving along, which means that if the sun is here at a given moment, let's say I look at sunrise. Sunrise is when the upper disk of the sun is visible. As soon as the upper disk is visible, it's sunrise. Let's say I'm standing here and you're standing 20 miles to the west. Okay, we're sitting on our cell phones and you're standing on the roof of the building here and you're looking out directly east. And you say, ah, beautiful sunrise. Meanwhile, your friend is 20 miles to the west, and he's looking on his rooftop, and there's no sun. Why not? Because he's 20 miles to the west. The sun will rise in the east, but it takes, the further west you go, the longer it takes. And to the effect that, for example, if the sun rises at 40 degrees north and 75 degrees west, at 6 a.m., the sun will rise at 40 degrees north and 80 degrees west at 6:20. Now what does that mean? Go to page 25. Okay? And we're going to look at the United States, and then we're going to look at the world. The world is divided into what's called latitude and longitude, which I'm sure you've heard numerous times. Latitude lines are the lines that are running east and west. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. They start at the equator is 0 degrees. This is regular geometry. A circle is 360 degrees around. There are two sets of 360 degrees. Number one is the equator is 0 degrees. The further north you go, the higher number the latitude is. So for example, Baltimore is about 39 degrees. Right, if you look at this map, Maryland is just below the 40 degree mark. New York is at 41 degrees or so. If you go to 45 degrees, that runs through Wisconsin and South Dakota and so on. If you go to 50 degrees, which is not on that map, you could picture it's going to even be higher, it's going to start running through Canada. 60 degrees runs through basically Anchorage, Alaska, Stockholm, Sweden, St. Petersburg, Russia, all the far off north places. So you have and the North Pole is 90 degrees. So you have from the equator to the North Pole is 90 degrees. From the North Pole to the equator on the other side is 90 degrees. From the equator to the South Pole is 90 degrees. And from the South Pole back up to the equator is 90 degrees. So it's 360 degrees all the way around. Similarly, and if you want to see this clear, you can go to my world map, which is on page 11 is the world map, and you can see that even clearer where you have... Again, it shows you, if you look all the way to the left, very small print, there are numbers that tell you where we're holding. So here's 0 degrees. 0 degrees basically is a line that runs through, if you go to Brazil, all the way to the right, Ecuador. Ecuador is named for the equator. That's the name comes from that, because the equator runs through Ecuador. It runs through parts of Indonesia and Zaire and so on. That's 0 degrees. And again, further north you go, the higher it gets, the further south you get, the lower it gets. So Australia is in the southern hemisphere. And so is Argentina and South Africa. Okay? Now, back to the American map. There are all, the one important point here is that the further you go north, the wilder the day gets. It's very important to say, because we're going to spend a little bit of time about talking about why is sunrise so late or sunset so early and so on. Rule number one, and this is only calculated through more complicated math, and that is as you get north, in other words, to get the exact numbers, the further north you go, the bigger the range is going to be, which means in the wintertime the days are going to be shorter the further north you go, and in the summer the days are going to be longer. Just for example, if you're at the equator, the day is between 12 hours and 6 minutes and 12 hours and 8 minutes all year. Right? Which basically means every single day of the year is the same amount of time. Basically 12 hours. I think the extra 6 minutes are because we're lucky that the astronomers view sunrise and sunset the same way we do halakhically. Because we all halakhically, sunrise is when the upper core of the sun is above the horizon, and when we view sunset, when that core dips below the horizon. Technically speaking, if you wanted to really dine on sunrise and sunset, you could have said when it's halfway up. When the sun is halfway above and halfway below, that's when the sun is exactly, on the horizon. But luckily they didn't say that, and we don't say that. I think if you cheshbon that, I think it might be 12 hours exactly. But that's not negated. But anyway, Lamaisa, that's how long it is at the equator. If you go to Baltimore in the winter time, the days are as short as approximately 9 hours, 9.5 hours, and they're as long as approximately 15 hours. Your days are much shorter in the winter, much longer in the summer. At 65 degrees north, in the winter your days are about 3.5 hours long, short and long, and in the summer they're about 22 hours long. That's at 65 degrees north, which basically is a line that runs through Alaska. If you go above that, which you go above about 66.5 degrees, that line is known as the Arctic Circle. Once you hit that line and go north, then you're going to have days that are 24 hours long and days that are 0 hours long. You've reached that extreme, which has its own halakhic issues, which hopefully we'll get to. Okay? That is how that works, which means, now think about this, the further north you go, the later the shkia is going to get in the summer, because the days are much longer, so I'm going to have a late shkia, and in the wintertime, the earlier the shkia is going to get. That's why cities like Boston and other cities have a very early, Chicago have a very early shkia, they have lichtsin as 4 o'clock. That's one of the factors, because they're further north, days are shorter. Whereas Miami, they don't have such an early Shabbos, even in the winter, because they're further south. The days are more average, even in the winter.
There's a bigger discrepancy also with further south you go, also, right?
No, the further south you get. Oh, yes. Yes, correct. In other words, if you go to Sydney, Australia, then there's Bakert, then us, then now they have very long days, so Asar B'Teves is going to be their hardest tinus, because it ends late, and Shabbat B'Tamuz will be their easiest tinus, because it ends early.
So it's the further you go from the equator.
Same thing. In other words, if you go to the Antarctica, you're going to have 24-hour days or nights. Right. Exact carriage from the North Pole. Right? Because it's the exact opposite. Okay? Now, you also have what's called longitude. Okay, so the number is based on sophisticated math. If I go, 50 miles north, or 50 degrees north, what impact will that have on my cheshbonus? That's complicated. The other next thing is a little bit easier than cheshbon. And that is, the same is true the further west you go, the later the time is going to get. Which means that if you're standing at 75 degrees, which is a line that runs through Philadelphia, these numbers, if you go back to that international chart, which you don't have to look, but that 0 degrees runs through Greenwich, which is London, and then, again, you have 360 degrees around the globe. So Greenwich is 0 degrees, Philadelphia is 75 degrees, east of St. Louis is 90 degrees, right? If you look at this line, 90 degrees down. Denver is 105 degrees, and Reno, Nevada is 120 degrees. And there are plenty of degrees in between. I think Wheeling, West Virginia is 80 degrees. The further west you go, the later it's going to be. This is a set number, very simply put. Look, we make discussion easily. If the sun rises, let's say, right here, right now. Right? Right here, right now. When will it rise again, next? Here. About 24 hours later, right? Does that make sense? Okay? No?
Yeah, sometime here.
It's about 4 hours. It doesn't matter what time of year. Maybe 24 hours and 2 minutes, 24 hours and a half a minute, 24 hours exact. Right? It'll be 24 hours later, right? Well, meanwhile, due west of me, it also rose later, right? In other words, if I go 100 miles west, it rose, a little later. if I go 306, so basically we're saying the sun will travel 360 degrees in 24 hours. That's what's happening. It's going around the entire globe, it's going to rise again by me 360 degrees in 24 hours. 360 degrees in 24 hours means that every degree it's going to rise. If you do the math, you'll see that every degree is going to rise 4 minutes later. Which means that if you're standing at this 75 degree line and your friend is standing at the 76 degree line latitude, he's going to see the sun rise 4 minutes later, which means his Netz HaKam is 4 minutes later, which means Shabbos starts 4 minutes later. Which means that if you live in Far Rockaway and you use a luach for Borough Park, then your zmanim are a minute off. Because Far Rockaway is a quarter of a degree east of Borough Park. Right, it's about 15 miles. It's a quarter of a degree. We said each degree is 4 minutes. That means a quarter of a degree is 1 minute. Which means if you're standing in Far Rockaway and your friend is in Borough Park and he gets on his phone and said, I just saw the sunset, good Shabbos, right? I mean, I hope he didn't say that, right? In Borough Park, he still has a minute till Shabbos. Right, that's a good way. The Yid in Borough Park has the guy in Far Rockaway, Amir Lakum, right? Banish Mashas, Swiss to Swiss. I want to know when Shabbos starts by me. You know you have a 1 minute warning, right? Because it takes a minute for the sun to get from Far Rockaway to Borough Park. Because it's a quarter of a degree. What is that distance in miles? So, 1 degree at the equator is about 69 miles. The further north you go, the shorter the mileage is. That's why planes fly north. Because actually when you go north, the distances in miles are much shorter. You're covering more degrees in a much less mileage, because again, the globe is aslant. So much so that 40 degrees, it's about 53 miles. And at 50 degrees, it's 44 miles. At 60 degrees, it's 28 miles. Which means in Baltimore, now, I'm really confused here. Unfortunately, a part of a degree is called a minute. Not to be confused, that's mathematical terms. Not to be confused with, and of course it's 60 minutes in a degree. And it's 60 seconds in a minute. Those minutes are not referring to time minutes, they're referring to distance minutes. Right? So therefore we can say a quarter of a degree, the sun travels a minute in time. That means for every 15 minutes on the globe, it takes 1 minute. Well, in other words, we said, let's say, simply put, if in Baltimore, every mile...
How big is a minute?
Well, a degree in Baltimore is approximately 53 miles. So that means a minute is about a mile. Right? Which means every mile, basically, takes about 4.5 seconds. Which means that if you're standing here and your friend is standing on Reichstown Road... It'll be four seconds later here than right start road. Now I live in town and you're here, so here it'll be 2 seconds because you're northwest of me. So for example, in the summertime, Shkia here is going to be relatively much later than by me, because first of all you're north, which means the days are longer, and you're west. Now you're laughing, but there's a Yid in town, a Rebelli Reidler, who he's the one that publishes the Zman HaYom in the Erev book. And in there the people down Vasikin in town. There's a Vasikin minion every day in town. And 6 days a week, a Yemei Chol, it's at Rabbi Dinowitz's shul on Glen Avenue and Winter. And one day a week it's the Aguda. On Shabbos they have it in Aguda. So they like to daven Vasikin to the second, because the Lechachil de Gizman is, if you can, you daven to the second. Now, to calculate to the second is very hard. First of all, you need to be someone to calculate to the second. Weather conditions can have an impact also. They have a barometric pressure. If you ever walk into that minion, you don't trip on the barometric pressure meter that's standing in front of the shul, because that's getting the barometric pressure to calculate how many seconds it's going to be off. And then they put up a sign and exactly what time it's at. And then they know to the second what time Netz HaKam is. So Eli Reidler ran a chart for the Aguda and the Rabbi Dinowitz's shul, and there was about 2 seconds difference sometimes, because even though they're only a few blocks away, Right? If you know your way around Baltimore, you'll know that they're really not that far, but the Netzachama times were different because they're in different places. If you're, again, if you're in Shomrei Muna or you're in Aguda on Park Heights, you're a mile apart. So therefore, Shki is going to be 4.5 seconds later. Every 78 feet is equal to a second. Okay? That, not a second in time, but a second on the map. And every, the sun will set 1 second later every 1,170 feet. Which means if you stand here and you go west 1,100 feet, which is not all that much, that's only in a car, if you're driving a car, that's only 0.2 miles on the odometer. Right? So again, if you're going down a street that runs directly east and west, place Slade, Ford's Lane. Right? Ford's Lane, that doesn't run east and west, it's crooked. Ricetown is crooked, that's the problem. Ricetown is crooked. So it's a crooked street. Willow Glen. Willow Glen runs east and west. One only Smith part of the way runs east to west. If you're standing on Willow Glen and you're standing at one point and you go 1,100 feet to the west, which is not that much, 10 football fields, that's it. 11 football fields. 11.7 football fields, right? It's a second later.
So is the Shabbos to race against Shabbos?
Well, no, you can't run that fast, right? Even an airplane almost can't go that fast. Fine. So what really happens is again, each degree west, the sun will rise 4 minutes later. Each minute west, it'll rise 4 seconds later. And therefore, each 15 seconds west, it will rise 1 second later. And going eastbound, it'll be earlier. That's how it works. Now, according to that Cheshvan, now let's talk about time zones. And this will change what's all what happens with Hatzais as well. So we say like this. If I'm standing in, let's say, Philadelphia, Philadelphia is at the 40 degree mark and the 75 degree mark. Denver is 40 and 105 degrees. Okay? So how many degrees west of Philadelphia is Denver? It's from 75 to 105. How many degrees is that? 30 degrees. So how much later will the sun rise in Denver than Philadelphia? Every degree is 4 minutes. So 30 degrees will be 120 minutes, which is 2 hours. So that's Kachavi. The sun rises in Denver every day, exactly, almost in a minute, 2 hours after it rises in Philadelphia. Because that's every day. That's what's happening. Now, we said, now let's hold on to that idea for a minute, because we're going to now go into time zones. We said that Chatzos Hayom is when the sun is at the highest point in the sky, set your watch, and that's what Chatzais is, and you're done. According to that, Chatzais Hayayim is different between here and New York. Right? Because it's different between here and town, in my house. Because Chatzais here is going to be a few seconds different. Okay, so that's not noticeable. But certainly between here and New York, between here and Philadelphia, has a different chatzais, which means, according to the definition of time, that we said time is defined by chatzais. And I set my watch, and we're all going to set our watches on December 25th, sun's highest point in the sky. Your friend in New York set his watch too, with the sun's highest point in the sky. When you meet together, you see that you have different times. In fact, your clocks will be 10 minutes different. And that's the way it was until 1884. Every city had a different time. Because Chatzais is here at this time, Chatzais is there at this time, and Cleveland was different, Detroit was different, and Boston was different. Everywhere had different times. The problem was, as transportation became more sophisticated, this became a big problem. You see, in the 1700s, what's the difference? So if Philadelphia had a different time, so what? You know, Mumai Nafkamina, there was no phone service to them, there was no telegraph service to them, there was no train service to them, so you got on a horse and buggy, and you showed up in New York a few days later, and you know, your timepieces were off, so you fixed it. But there was no big ramifications. But, and besides, most people anyway, you know, who had watched, you know, you looked at the center of the town, had a time clock, and that was, in fact, the dropping of, they used to drop things, which symbolized noon. That's the makor of Lahavdil Alef Alfei Alef Rivei Revavos, right? A custom which took place this past week, right? Tradition of dropping the ball in Times Square to symbolize midnight. That's an offshoot of the reenactment of the just simple, not custom, but rather the way of telling time when something drops and it came there. That was noon.
Was it 11?
I don't know, I'm not sure that bells, a chveis, I don't know, but there was this concept of things, you know, going down, something like that. There was something in the middle of time. Okay, anyway, now, so the problem was, once railroad service started and ships and transportation, I mean, that was at ships, but once there was a lot of transportation, they had to fix this. This was a terrible situation, because if you had train service that's running from New York to Baltimore, so, you know, the conductors in New York got one piece of timetable, and they always had to synchronize everything. And the guy in Baltimore had a different train schedule, and then there was confusion, there was mass confusion, there were accidents, there was fatalities, it was gefährlich, boats sunk, because it was just so much havoc of everyone had a different time. So they said, we need to standardize the time. And on November 18th, 1884, they were kaveya what's called standard time. And the way standard time works is as follows. And I spoke about this by Kish Levana, but I'm just being marik here, because now we see exactly what's happening. They said, you know what, everybody, literally what should have happened is as follows. And almost what happened, but we'll see that there's some nafkaminas. We said like this. There are, if we want to break the world into 24 time zones. Everywhere in the world, there are 24 different times across the world. And therefore we want to say that there should be 24 different time zones, so that in London, when it is 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to be in Baltimore, 12 noon. And in Vancouver, it's going to be 9 a.m. And in Phoenix, it's going to be 10 a.m. And in St. Louis, it's going to be 11 a.m. And in Anchorage, it's going to be 8 a.m. And in Honolulu, it's going to be 7 a.m. And in Apia, it's going to be 6 a.m. That's in American Samoa. And if you want to go east, if you go into parts of Canada, it's going to be 1 p.m. And if you go to go to Yerushalayim, it's going to be 7 p.m. And if you go to St. Petersburg, it's going to be 8 p.m. You get the gist. You go to Phnom Penh, it's going to be midnight. And you go to Singapore, it's going to be 1 a.m. And if you go to, and so on, Kobe, Japan, it's going to be 2 a.m. And Melbourne will be, it's really 3 a.m. But they have Vladivostok, will be 3 a.m. And it's kind of a kahina, right? In other words, every part of the world, there's another time zone. If you look at the international map, you'll appreciate this even better. If you go to page... So they basically broke the world up into 24 time zones. That's been modified, and they're really now 26 time zones.
Oh, hash hour things?
No, what you have really is, I'll explain that when I get to the dateline. This also meant you need a breaking point. We have an international dateline, where we page 11. If you look at page 11, you see these little numbers here. Each of those numbers is the center of the time zone. In other words, 0 degrees is the center of Greenwich time. 75 degrees, which is Philadelphia, is the center of the eastern time zone. If you look in the bottom right, you see I earmark all the time zones. 75 degrees west, eastern time. If you follow that line up, you'll see it runs through Philadelphia. 90 degrees is central time. And that basically says that we're going to make a standard time so that all of the East Coast is on the same time zone. And therefore, instead of it being 11:54 a.m. in Baltimore and 12:04 p.m. in New York and noon in Philadelphia and 12:30 in Boston and 11:30 in Detroit, we're going to say all these locations are going to have one time. And that's going to be Eastern time. But we could make the whole world on one time. Why couldn't we just say, well, everyone have the same time in the whole world? You can't do that, because then it'll be haywire sunrise. You know, some places the sun rises at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? Because we're all the same time zone. So you have to basically everybody have to say the same. The center is these lines. 90 degrees is center of the central time. And 105 degrees is the center of mountain time. And 120 degrees is the center of Pacific time. And 135 degrees is the center of Alaska time. And 150 degrees is the center of Hawaii and Aleutian Island time. And everyone turned their clock. So on that day, everyone turned their clock to match the center of the time zone. So Baltimore, it was really 12:04 already. It was 11:54. We turned our clocks. 12:06. Did I write that? 12:06 or 12:04? Right? No, I'm sorry. In New York, it was 12:04. In Baltimore, it was 11:54. We turned our clocks ahead 6 minutes. And now if you go back, Yerushalayim changed their clocks about 21 minutes. Because Yerushalayim is located at about 35 degrees east. They are basing their time on 30 degrees east. So therefore, they are really about 5 degrees east of the central line. And that's when we spoke about standard time with Kirsch Levana. And it's all changed based on the standard time. Okay, so far so good? Now,
Yerushalayim is based on Cairo?
Yerushalayim is based on wherever 30 degrees runs through. Now,
how did it fix everything?
How what?
How did it fix all of Arab?
Well, basically now, the whole East Coast has the same time zones, and in Echanami there's a central time zone, but at least instead of dealing with thousands of times, you're dealing with in America, the whole United States. The main, you know, for the main 48 states has only, there weren't 48 states then, but whatever it was, you have four time zones, and they're very distinctly noted, and the Department of Transportation is the Pesach Acheron on those time zones. And that's what you have. Now, really, the line should have been basically, if you take 75 degrees as the middle time, then basically you would have 7.5 degrees in both directions, which means the eastern time zone should really extend till 82.5 degrees west. The only problem is, if you look at a map, 82.5 degrees may run through your backyard somewhere, because it's running through the middle of, Indiana. Or the middle of Ohio, actually. Not the middle of Ohio, it's the middle of Ohio. If you take a look at this, 82.5 degrees cuts right through Ohio. So therefore, if you could cut through even maybe Columbus, I might not have the chart here, but it may run right through Columbus or Zanesville or somewhere. So, you know, we don't want a time zone running through the town. That means, you know, if I work on the other side of town or subway is haywire. So what they did was they allowed for the time zones to raise the harum a little bit, and they go a little bit this, a little that, and so on. State lines, for example. In other words, Ohio said, we want to be entirely in the eastern time zone. We don't want to cut our state in half. So they said, okay, we'll let it go through, you know, like that. And then Indiana said, we want to be part of the eastern time zone also, because we want to be like New York, and we do commerce with New York. And Detroit, take a look at Detroit. Detroit is all the way over here. They really are on the line almost of 82.5 degrees. Detroit decided at some point, we want to be part of eastern time. Well, my Afghanina. Well, the big Nafkaminas.
Same on Wall Street.
What's that?
Wall Street Journal, Wall Street.
Wall Street, right? They want to be with stocks and so on, and then when they open up. But the Nafkamina is halakhically has major ramifications, because if Detroit, well, I'll give you where it really is Nafkamina. The big Nafkamina now is in South Bend, Indiana. Right? There's Chalukah Day, this is Mamish Negeya as we speak. South Bend, Indiana, which is Yiddish Shtat with the yeshiva, is now in the hands of the Department of Transportation as to what their time zone would be. And why that happened, and when I talk about daylight savings time, I'll get to that. But basically, there's a suffix weather, and they're going to pass it on in this month.
They don't just live back and forth anymore?
Well, what happened was, in other words, South Bend is a Shiloh weather. They're now on Eastern time. They've always been on Eastern time. There's a Shiloh weather that's going to go to Central time. L'mayna Kamina, if they're in Eastern time, then they're on the western tip of the Eastern time zone, which means the sun sets in the summer at 9:15 at night, which is very late. That means Shabbos is over, you know, it's very late. If they put them on the eastern tip of the Central time, that means the sun will set in the summer at 8:15. It's a whole different world. Right? It's many, many Nafkaminas in that. It's sunrise also. Is it late or is it early? If it's in the eastern time zone, it's going to have a very late sunrise in the winter, which they've always had. If it's in the central time zone, it won't be so late. Chayna v'chayna. What time does Shabbos start? In the winter. If it's in the central time zone, then Shabbos is going to start early in the winter. It's going to start before 4 o'clock, probably. If it's in the eastern time zone, it'll start 5 o'clock. Right, the Malas Chesrinus, Seisban Kriyishma. Everything is impacted by this decision by the Department of Transportation. But if you look at the bottom map in the United States, you will see the time zones, basically how they have been broken down. And they are, the light is the eastern, and then you have central. If you look at this line goes through North Dakota, and South Dakota does cut through the state. Nebraska, Kansas, but even a little bit of Kansas ended up in the Pacific time zone. The next time zone is Pacific. But if you look at Oregon, for example, right? Oregon has a little piece of the mountain time zone. Pashtus, because those communities are near Boise, Idaho. So they said, we, you know, a lot of people go to work in Boise. We don't want to have a different time zone. We don't care what time it is in Oregon. We're toppled to Boise, because that's where we work. So they said, you know, we want to be part of the mountain time zone. And so on. And now, let's go back to our Philadelphia, Denver situation. The sun rises in Philadelphia, let's say at 7 a.m. It's going to rise 2 hours later in Denver. Let's say your friend is telling you it's rising by me. What time is it by you? In Philadelphia. You're on the phone with your friend in Denver. You watch the sunrise at 7 a.m. You're on the phone with your friend in Denver who says, I see the sun rising. It's 2 hours later. What time is it by you?
9 a.m.
It's 9. But what time is it in Denver?
7.
So in other words, the sun rose at 7 in Philly local time. The sun rose in Denver at 7 a.m. local time. That's why if you look at Ezra's Torah Luach, you will see that the Zmanim for Philadelphia and Denver are almost identical. Give or take a minute. They could have saved space and written Philadelphia or Denver, right? And they're an identical time, because whatever happens in Philadelphia happens in Denver 2 hours later. And it's 2 hours earlier on the clock. So they're kamat exactly the exact same times. Now, the other thing I want to mention is that's how time zones work. The further, if you look at the bottom of page, let me just go to some of the things I wrote here. The bottom of page 32, you see all the different time zones that exist. Again, UT stands for Universal Time, plus 2 is Eretz Yisrael. And UT, so if it's 10 a.m. in England, UT plus 2 is noon, and UT plus 12 is in Russia, it's 10 p.m. UT plus 13 is Tanga, which is 11 p.m., and the furthest east time zone is Universal Time plus 14. Kiramati is already midnight on the next day. The earliest time zone is UT minus 11, which is American Samoa, which is 11 p.m., which means at 5:30 a.m., tomorrow morning, it is, what day is it here? It's Wednesday. However, there's a place in the world where it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Because in American Samoa, it's 11:30 at night, Tuesday night. In the most of the world, it's Wednesday. And in Kiramati, it's already Thursday morning at 12:30 a.m. Because again, there are more than 24 time zones to be exact. Now, the last thing I want to mention is, the further west you go in a time zone, the later the Zmanim. What's the pshat? Why should that be? Because what happened when you're far west? What really ultimately occurred? What they did was, on that day in standard time, it was really, the sun was over, let's say, Philadelphia. Right? At 12 noon, it was over Philadelphia. What time was it in Detroit at that time? Was it 12 o'clock yet? No, because the sun was all the way to... Because, again, Philadelphia is 75 degrees. If you're looking here, here's Philadelphia. Here's Boston. Here is Detroit. The sun is going like this. When the sun is over Boston, it's 12 o'clock. At that time, it's only 11:30 in Philadelphia. When it's 12 o'clock in Philadelphia, what time is it in Boston? It's already 12:30. Barrett. What time is it in Detroit? It's only 11:30. So on that day, Detroit went and turned their clock. It wasn't that day. Whatever day it was, they moved their clock ahead 30 minutes. So it's like you're cheating on the clock. Sun's, it's 12 noon. It's Chatzos. No, it's not. We're going to call 12:30. Right? It's artificial time. In other words, you're moving your clock ahead. So the further west you go in the time zone, the later the Zman. Everything occurs later. The further east you go, the earlier the Zmanim, which means, that by the way explains, number one is in Baltimore. Remember I told you we daven in November at 12:22. Chatzos is 11:45. That's Chatzos in Philadelphia is 11:45. In Baltimore, it's 6 minutes later. So Chatzos here, when it's 11:45 in Philadelphia, Chatzos here is 11:51. So you can't daven mincha until 12:21. And that's why we had a minute just to be on the safe side, so 12:22. Okay? In February, that's why I said 12:21, 12:15 in Philadelphia, 12:21 here, so a half hour later it's 12:51, so you can dive in at 12:51, 12:52. Finally, it stands to reason that if the latest manim are in the western part of the time zone, then where will you have the latest shkia in America? The further in the summer, the further west you go in a time zone, and the further north you go, right? Because north has those long days. And therefore, if you look at the map, you will see, well, the Aleutian Islands has no day or no night. Detroit will have a very late, the latest kehillah involved in America is Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it was Yiddish kehillah where there's a from minyan. Their shkia is about 5-6 minutes after Detroit. I think it's about 9:25 in July. That's shkia. However, if you look at this map, you'll see really the latest of the latest. If you go to the northern west Michigan, there's an island there. Shkia is at 10 o'clock, right? Because you're north and west. But even further, better than that, is if you go to the central time zone, look at North Dakota. See, the line cuts through North Dakota and then hangs left all the way to the Montana border. There's a town on the North Dakota-Montana border, near the border, called Fortuna, North Dakota, where Shkia is at 10:04 p.m. If you even want to get further north than Fortuna, there's Route 83, which is a federal highway. 83 runs all the way from Fortuna all the way down to Texas, I think Laredo, Texas, maybe. If you go to that border guard between that and Canada, you can dive at 10:05 at that. They're mamish on the Canadian, in America. They're on the Canadian-American border. You're in the northwest tip of the time zone. It's late because you're so far west. You know how west that is? It's 100, if you look at the chart above, they're at the 105 degree line about. They should have been in the middle of this, of the mountain time, of the mountain time zone, and they're still in the central time zone. Which means they are a plus 60. In other words, they're 60 minutes later than they should have been. So but they can do whatever they want. At least the Department of Transportation lets it. That's the latest shkia. They also have the latest sunrise in the winter time. The sunrise is there at 8:50 in the morning. That's without daylight savings time. That's Tom. And the earliest manim are in Van Buren, Maine, which is, where's the earliest manim going to be? The further north you go, again, the shorter the days in the winter, and the furthest, earliest you're going to get. In Van Buren, Maine, the sun rises at 4:36 in the morning. That's with daylight savings time. So now in Baltimore, the earliest sunrise is 5:39. So their Nate's is a full hour before ours. So now, if they have a Nate's, if they have a Vasika minion there on Shabbos in Baltimore, the Vasika minion starts 40 minutes before sunrise. So if they would have a Vasika minion in Van Buren, Maine, then it would be at 3:56 a.m. Shabbos morning. And without daylight savings time, it would start at 2:56 a.m. Shkia, they have the earliest Shkia in the winter because the days are short. That means Shkia is early. Shkia in Van Buren, Maine in December is at 3:43 p.m. Which means Shabbos would start at 3:25. And Chatzos in November is at 11:11. Because again, it's very far early. The further east you go, the earlier Chatzos, which means you could daven morning mincha services at 11:41 in the morning in November because of the early Chatzos. Chatzos, interestingly, has nothing to do with how far north or south you go. If you're on the line, no matter how far north you go, the day is getting longer at an equal rate, which means the midpoint is going to be the same regardless of where you are. The only consideration of Chatzos is where are you in the time zone. If you're in the center of the time zone, then you're going to go from November to February from 11:45 to 12:15. In the summer, it's going to rain. You look at that analemma and you'll see how that works. And if you go west, like in Detroit, Chatzos is very late. So their early mincha, the kail there has an early mincha, I believe, at 2:15. And in the summertime. And they have to move it a few minutes later. I think it's 2:10. They have to move it to as late as 2:17 because in July, it moves that. You can't down before 2:20. 2:17, 2:18. In Baltimore, the Agudas Mincha used to be at 1:50 every summer. They moved it to 2 just because people were getting confused. But in Nevada Kashas, we down in 1:50 Monday through Thursday every day, summer, winter. And that time was chosen because even in the summer, the Mincha Gedolah is 1:50. So that time is safe all year. July has the latest man of Mincha anywhere you are in a particular time zone, and February is going to be, for that location, February is going to be Euler's time. And I keep saying the last thing, but the last thing is daylight savings time. I want to just mention what that is and how that works. Daylight savings time is what they do is, it's the sun rises, let's say in Baltimore, at 4:40 a.m. and sets at 7:30 p.m. So basically, the sun rising at 4:40 a.m. is a waste of energy. Because who's using that sun between 4:40 and 5:40? Everyone's sleeping. Whereas at 7:30, it's getting dark, everyone is turning on their lights, energy is being consumed. So they decided that Ben Franklin came up with this chat, and then during World War I they implemented it, and finally implemented it b'kfiyas. They said, you know what, if we add an hour to the day in the summer, what does that mean add? We turn our clocks artificially ahead 1 hour, instead of the sun rising at 4:40, it rises at 5:40, and instead of the sun setting at 7:30, it sets at 8:30. Which basically means you're hopping an hour of the morning sun, which is a waste, 98% of the population is sleeping then, so take it from 4:30 to 5:30 and give it to 7:30 to 8:30. And now, you know, 99% of the population is using that hour. Now you don't need it in the winter so much, because in the winter, the sun rises here at 7:30. So what are you going to do? You're going to turn the clock at 7:15. At 7:15, everybody's already using that sunlight. So when you're going to make it 8:15, you're marviyach much less, because people are using it at 7:15. Yes, more people would be using it at 5:15 than 7:15. And that's why during the oil embargo in 1973, they were conveying daylight savings time even in the winter. They were conveying it in December and January, because they wanted to chop every bit of energy you can get. But they realized it wasn't so safe because kids were getting hurt, because if you go out to the bus at 7:15, it's light. But now you're telling kids to go out at 7:15, it was pitch black. When they had it in the wintertime in yeshiva, so what I hear, you could ask those people that were around in yeshiva in the mid-70s, but Neitz HaChama was at 8:26. Right? Which means you couldn't have it this time of year. In other words, if they would have daylight savings time now, then next would be at 8:25, and therefore the yeshiva would start at 7:55. I think they probably had a seder from 7:30 to 8. Right? And because they couldn't start. They didn't want to daven before 8. People working, and we'll learn about this, how early you're allowed to daven, we'll see they had to daven early, but it was gefarlos, because even if you can daven, people want to daven at 6:30. 6:30 was 2 hours before 8. You can't daven. In America, until this year, daylight savings time runs from the first Sunday in April until the last Sunday in October. When I was a kid, until 1986, it was the last Sunday in April. Then they moved it back to the first Sunday in April. Recently, Congress passed, and the Agudas Yisrael was involved in trying to fight this. They recently passed that it should be from the second Sunday in March until the first Sunday in November, which means they moved it back a few weeks, right, from the first Sunday in April back, second Sunday in March, and they moved it up a week from the last Sunday in October to the first Sunday in November. From a yin, we're more worried about the November change, because Nates, at the end of October, is already 7:33. If you move it, they wanted to move it to the last Sunday in November, which would have meant Nates would have been, right, instead of that, it would have been an hour later, it would have been, right, 8:30, not quite 8:30, not that late. In the end of October, because they had savings time at 7:33. But then it goes to 6:33, right? And then it starts moving up again. What would have happened is Nates would have been about 8 o'clock, right, with that change. But luckily, it was only moved a week ahead in November, and therefore, that had a minor, will have a minor, relatively minor impact. It's not so great, but for 1 week, it's not such a big deal. March is a Gamzul Taiva, because the earliest non-Kriya Shema of the year, without daylight savings time, at least on our calendar, is the end of March. Pesach and Zmanim, everybody's home. And now, because of this change, it will mean that the Sites non-Kriya Shema in March will not be so early anymore because of that artificial hour later. So I think it's a Gamzul Taiva. And that. The only problem is the Pesach Seder, when it used to be the end of April, the Star always began early, on standard time. Now, most of the years they move ahead, now it will always be that way. And in 2031, you'll be Zaycha to have Purim, the clock change in Purim itself. because that would say Shabbat, the second Sunday in March, will be Purim.
Yeah.
Which you'll have, interesting, you'll have Purim, you very often now with this new change, will end instead of Shkia at 6 o'clock, Shkia will be at 7 o'clock, which is Gishmak. Because now you know, if you go with the Suda, could start at 5 and you go much later. The only chesaron is Atinus Esther will go an hour later. Right? But in that year, when Purim, when they change the clock on Purim Alein, Atinus Esther will still be on standard time, and Purim will be on daylight savings time, so you'll not be having the best of everything. Actually, Atinus Esther will be the booked in that year. And in Mr. Shem, 2 weeks, we will now get into the Lemaisa. Now we understand Zmanim, we will get into the Lemaisa of Alisha Shaka, Nitzachama, and so on.